B-Pod Studios.
It was important for somebody like that to sort of draw that line. I mean, he didn't so much draw a line in the sand as he took a backhoe and dug a trench.
Stay with us, and we're going to show you how to take dead aim.
Take dead aim.
The importance of taking dead aim.
Welcome to Taking Dead Aim, a show dedicated to the game of golf and the people who play it in the Carolinas and around the world. Taking Dead Aim is a presentation of Neogenics Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. And now, here's your host, the guy using your member number at the snack bar, Charlie Nance.
Hey there, once again, we're Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. Where, by the way, the Mizuno Mobile Fitting Van will be at Greater Golf Express, Pineville, this Tuesday from 11 to 3. Get your swing DNA. All it takes is 3 swings in 10 minutes. Get fitted by Mizuno, Tuesday, 11 to 3 at Greater Golf Express, Pineville. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at CLT underscore golf guy, and it's PGA Championship Week at storied Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma, site of 7 previous major championships. The most recent, the 2007 PGA Championship, won by some guy named Tiger Woods. Interesting stat of the week. In those 7 majors, only 33 scores were under par at the end of the tournaments. Combined, 7 majors, 33 scores. So this is no pitch and putt like the tour played in Dallas last week, that's for sure. Speaking of Tiger, he's not only in the field, but did you see his press conference on what was it, Tuesday? He just eviscerated Phil Mickelson. Phil, of course, the defending PGA champion who is, oh, well, you know. We'll dive into all things Phil, Tiger, PGA Championship with our boots on the ground from Tulsa, Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer. Also today, going to introduce you to Phil Van Giersdalen, who runs the Charlotte chapter of the Amateur Players Tour. Regardless of your skill level, if you're looking to have some fun competing in golf this summer, the APT is a great way to do it. And then we'll wrap things up with some PGA predictions and more from our resident PGA master teaching professional, Nick Jacoby. So what do you say? Let's get going with Ron Green Jr. Ron, this is not the Southern Hills of 2007 and Tiger Woods. All the pictures that I see, all the video I see. Now, granted, it's not August and baked out as Southern Hills normally looks. It looks beautiful, and the redesign has to be getting raves from the players.
Well, they love it. I think, John Rahm was talking about just perfect. Justin Thomas said he walked in and looked at it and said he fell in love with it. Said the sweet, called it a sweet place. You know, it's big. They added, 400 yards. It can stretch over 7,500 yards, par 70, which is a whole lot of golf course. But it's really hundreds of trees taken out over the years, some of which had begun before Gil Hanson, Jim Wagner came in. But, you know, they sort of unearthed the essence of the Perry Maxwell design and enhanced it, stretched it out in some places, and it's just a cool-looking place. The bunkers are really cool-looking. They're sort of intentionally, irregular or whatever. Some have a lot of grass around them, some don't. There's some dirt could show in places. It's like that. I think what, as people watch the PGA Championship, what they're going to see is not entirely like Pinehurst, but you've got to hit it in right spots on the greens, because if you miss the greens, a lot of skin down runoffs and roll-offs, and you could spend a whole lot of time trying to chip your way back to par. I think if you I was with Gil Hanse this morning and said, is it true that the idea here is to hit it to the middle green of the green and putt to the edge? He goes, absolutely. You can't do it the other way.
Yeah, that's the biggest difference. If anyone watches highlights from Tiger's win in 07 or Retief Goosen's win at the U.S. Open prior to that at Southern Hills, is that it used to be it looked like a traditional major championship setup. You had green and then you had rough. And like you said, part of the Hanse redesign are these runoff areas. I think it's going to make for an interesting golf tournament, to say the least, especially if the wind blows. A stat that I came across was that there's been 7 major championships held at Southern Hills. Now, granted, none with this redesign, but 7 so far. In those 7s, we have a whopping total of 33 participants who finished under par. in seven major championships. So this is, this has been one of those courses that is just a huge test of golf. Is it a big enough test for these guys, or will they, is this just another course they're going to eat?
I don't think they're going to eat it. I think it's a big test. I think it's going to be, you know, I think they, you give somebody eight under par, they take it right now and be very happy with it. I mean, they're so good. They're going to make some birdies. And, you know, it's interesting the way they've done this. It's, and I think we're starting to see it more in major championships. They didn't narrow the fairways. They widened the fairways. The fairways are 40 yards wide on average, giving them plenty of room to hit it. You know, then if you get it in the rough, which is not, you know, had they come here in July, the Bermuda rough would be twice what it is right now. But it's enough to give them problems. So I think it gives them opportunities to score. The greens are not fast. The greens are going to run about 11 by design. You know, so, and they're not terribly slopey. They don't have the crazy contours like you might see it in Augusta or something like that. So, but it's, you know, it's, as I referred to it in the story, I said, it's sort of like a really good steak. It's fulfilling, it's hearty and satisfying. And I think that's what this is going to be.
Before we get to the people that are there, let's talk about the one glaring omission that is not, and that is Phil Mickelson. I was trying to think, outside of injury, and of course Tiger immediately pops to mind, but outside of injury, in all of your years of covering major championships, have you ever been at one where a healthy defending champion did not try to defend?
Nothing comes to mind. It really doesn't, and I think, you know, other people have written about that. It's funny, I don't often think about defending champions once the tournament starts, you know.
Right.
Suddenly they have a chance to win again. But, I mean, it's a huge hole. I mean, it's a vacuum that he is not here. Now, that has not meant he's not been the subject of more than enough conversation. I mean, that was what the, you know, the pre-tournament interview sessions have dwelled on Phil, and should he be here, why isn't he here, what does it mean, and all that's swirling around him and what's, you know, sort of unfolding in the game of golf. But yeah, I mean, it'd be better if he was here. I mean, to imagine that, you know, 1 year ago we were down at Kiowa watching him, you know, in that great scene and beating Brooks Koepka on Sunday to win a major at 50 years old, and just sort of, you know, the celebration that brought about. And then now it's just sort of, he's in this professional sort of exile right now and don't know when he's coming back. You know, they had a champions dinner last Tuesday night, I guess, and it's just, you know, he's not there. Strange. It's an odd thing. It's a sort of an awkward moment. I don't know when I expect to see him. My guess is we'll see him in London, but I could be wrong about that.
In a weird way, now it won't be once the tournament starts, of course, but in a weird way, is Phil's absence a bigger distraction and a bigger story than if Phil had showed up?
I think for the first couple of days, it's an obvious storyline. It's just something that, yeah, draws your attention. It would have probably been a bigger story had he shown up and addressed everything that's going on or is or isn't going on. But, you know, I know talking to Seth Wall, the CEO of the PGA, early in the week, before his press conference, he goes, I know what's coming. I know what the questions are going to be about. I understand that. You know, he talked to Phil multiple times leading into this about what the best thing might be and how it might, you know, what he should maybe do. And anyway, I think Phil ultimately made the final decision. But it's, you know, it's a really strange moment. For all those things to be brought together and, you know, for suddenly him not to be here and, you know, it could be another celebration of him. Instead, you know, Tiger pretty well laid it out. I mean, kind of almost filleted him in his press conference when the subject of what Phil's been doing came up. And, you know, it's I don't know if there's a dividing line there. I think most of the players are on the PGA Tour side, but I think we're edging toward the moment we're going to find out.
Tiger really dug in deep with the tour and against Phil. More so, I was surprised. I don't want to use the word venomous because I didn't get that vibe. Maybe it was just very harsh. Did you expect it, or did it surprise you that Tiger was that harsh with his criticisms and that definitive with his statements?
I was not surprised he was that definitive. You know, I guess there have been times people have criticized Tiger for not saying a whole lot in certain instances. This case, he knew what he wanted to say, how he wanted to say it, and I thought he did a really good job. It was not hard to look through all that and think he's speaking for more than just himself in that situation. I mean, somewhere Jay Monahan, the commissioner, had to be smiling about that. I think a lot of players feel that way. I mean, they're interested in what this other thing is. But I think, and I go back to it, for the players who go and play the Saudi thing, they're playing for the money. There's nothing else to play for because, you know, what does it mean if you win the first tournament other than you get a fat paycheck? There's nothing to judge it against. But, you know, I think it was important for somebody like that to sort of draw that line. I mean, he didn't so much draw a line in the sand as he took a backhoe and dug a trench.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of guys feel that way. I think some guys are going to go. I think we're going to find out, you know, whatever it is, 3 weeks, that, okay, if you want to go, go. And others will watch with, you know, curiosity. But I liked what Tiger said. I thought he nailed it. I just think they're playing for more than just the money, and I think that's what drives the best ones. I don't think if you ask Jordan Spieth or John Rahm or Tiger how much money they've won, I don't think that immediately comes to mind. They talk about the tournaments they won.
You bring up Tiger. Of course, he was the story making his return to golf at the Masters a couple of months ago. I thought that the best he could have done was what he did, and that was making the cut. I thought that was a phenomenal achievement for Tiger Woods. Physically, we're 5 weeks down the road. He looks stronger. Southern Hills is a tough walk, but it's nowhere near the tough walk of Augusta National. What do you think is a good barometer for Tiger Woods in terms of making progress this week?
Yeah, as he said, you know, he climbed Mount Everest first by playing in Augusta.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, if Augusta's a 10 out of 10, this is probably a 7 or an 8 out of 10 because it's got some slopes on it, especially going up 9 and 18. You're walking up these big hills and up to the clubhouse. But, you know, I think, you know, I mean, he was pretty forthright talking about how he just could feel the energy or the juice sort of dripping out of him at the end at Augusta. He just didn't have it. He ran out of energy, and so he's now had whatever 5-6 weeks to work on that, to recover, to use what he did down there as a guide to preparing for what's next. And I expect him to play well. I mean, I think I don't expect him to putt it like he did at Augusta on Saturday when he just putted himself right out of the tournament. And nothing will sap somebody's energy, no matter how healthy they are, is like 5 or 6 3 putts, and at some point you're just like, I'm done with this. But I'm cautiously optimistic that he could play well here. I think that's his expectation. I think he understands, and he's reiterated it. He goes, you know, it's always going to hurt. It's only ever going to be so good. And, you know, I thought it was interesting that he said he can't practice more than about 20 minutes at a time. He can't stand there and putt for 2 hours. He can go putt for 15 or 20 minutes, and he has to go take a break. Then come back later and do it. So I think his preparation, I think he has had to sort of re-engineer his preparation and his expectations. Big events where you have to think your way around a golf course, as you're going to have to do here, play to his strength. So like everybody else, I'm interested to see how it goes.
These are those days where we miss the late, great Dan Jenkins, because I would love to hear Dan's take on what he remembered Hogan's preparation for tournaments was post car accident, and comparing it to what Tiger's doing now, and what Tiger's able to do, what Hogan was able to do. I think it would be a fascinating comparison, and maybe Jenkins is the only one left who really had knowledge of all of that. Let's talk about people who really have a legitimate chance to win. It seems like the last year or so, every time I ask you who you think John Rahm is at the top of the list, is he still at the top of the list, or are we going to talk about Scottie Scheffler maybe sneaking in and winning another one? He continues to play well when he shows up.
Well, if I'm going to remain consistent with other little chats I've had about this and ask for two names, I kept saying Scottie Scheffler and John Rahm, so I'm going to say it again. I mean, that's not walking out on a limb. That's, you know, that's just standing on a concrete parking lot that's so firm. But mean, I think you got to start with them. I think Jordan Spieth's a guy who, especially with the imagination you're going to need around greens, I think he could really be a factor here. It's really important to drive the ball in fairways, and John Rahm drives it so well that I just think it just really lines up well for him. Scottie Scheffler he talked about how he didn't play well for Nelson, and yet they finished, what, T12. I mean, so he was right there in, one of those, fire drill kind of tournaments where you just got to keep making birdies before you get run over. So, I think you start with those guys. I think a guy like Max Homa's quietly played really, really well, just won Wells Fargo, and has not played well in a major. I think he knows that. I think he's a guy. I'll be interested to see how he goes. I'll be interested to see how, I'm trying to think of some other guys like that who just, you just don't know. Like a Louis Oosthuizen, has done nothing, but suddenly major championships. His name just sort of like, hey, there he is again. I think he could be somebody you keep an eye on. I think Rory, maybe the bounce he sort of got from Augusta and the way it finished. If he could just imagine if Rory could go shoot 64 to start this thing, just suddenly it's plugging into Christmas lights and flipping them on the way the energy would just ratchet up here. So, as all these things always are, I think it's open to a ton of possibilities.
Another guy, and I'll get you out of here on this, who continues to fly under the radar to me, and it's so funny that he does, because he's proven to be an assassin when he gets in these situations. In the last couple of years, Colin Morikawa has quietly won a couple of majors. And when you talk about having to think your way around the golf course, Tiger-like, I think he does it about as good as anyone when he's playing well. He sort of gets in those things where he's not putting well, and so he's not on the leaderboards. But he's one of the best iron players in the world, and he's proven to have major championship medal. It would not surprise me at all if all of a sudden we're sitting here next week going, dang, if Colin Morikawa hadn't won three of these major championships in the last couple of years.
Well, when I paused talking about other players a minute ago, I was trying to pull his name forward. I'm like, I'm forgetting the obvious that I was just talking about. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm running through all these names. Yeah, well, as I was just saying, how important it is to hit it to the certain parts of these greens, basically the center. Well, there's not a better iron player than him. And so that he almost starts with a slight advantage because he's so good at that now. He's got to putt well, and he's had moments. He hasn't been quite had the torrid chair, but he's just always, he hangs around like few other players. So I think he's a really, really good pick. In fact, I've heard some guys in the media center start sort of gravitating that way, thinking, okay, here's the guy.
From the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, that is our boots on the ground in Tulsa for the PGA Championship, Ron Green Jr. And up next, meet Phil Van Giersdalen as he takes dead aim at his Charlotte chapter of the Amateur Players Tour. And that means we've reached the Greater Golf Express halfway house on the show this week, where the Mizuno Mobile Fitting Van will be this Tuesday from 11 to 3. Get your swing DNA. All it takes is 3 swings, 10 minutes. Get fitted by Mizuno this Tuesday, 11 to 3 at Greater Golf Express Pineville.
Attention all golfers, the Unbox Store's super sales event continues.
Are you still shopping at the boring old box store? Stop and head to Greater Golf Express in Pineville, the Unbox Store, where you get super pricing, super service, and super selection. Get the TaylorMade M4 driver, only $299. Save $200. Looking for the Callaway Maverick irons? Save $100 off the 7-piece set at Greater Golf Express. Tried the Callaway Maverick driver yet? Get to Greater Golf Express and save $200. Now only $299.99. Ready to stock up on Titleist golf balls? Get the Titleist Pro V1. Pro V1 X Left Dash and Titleist AVX Prior Generation Logo Overruns, 2 for $75 while supplies last. Greater Golf Express is located in Pineville in the Centrum Shopping Center right next to Home Depot. If you haven't shopped the Unbox Store, you're paying too much. Bottom line, if your game needs it, Greater Golf Express has it. And has it for less, or greatergolfexpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. Phil Van Giersdalen is the man in charge of, in my opinion, the best all-around tour to have fun and compete in the Charlotte area, the Amateur Players Tour. So, Phil, let me get started just as I would normally, just talking to you. Up until this year, and I, and you know me, I'm an avid golfer. I play all the time. I had never really heard of the Amateur Players Tour. In fact, I'd only heard of one other tour in the area, but come to find out there's several. Tell me a little bit about the APT from your point of view as the guy who runs it, and what sets you apart.
Sure. The APT, again, started 2 years ago. It started in 2021 here in the Charlotte area. It's actually been in existence for about 6 years prior to that. Started in St. Louis as a single chapter tour. Two gentlemen thought that they could, you know, take the model that they had created. And the model was pretty simple in that they, you know, they created a tour that, you know, they were both avid amateur players themselves and saw, you know, things that they thought could be improved upon and went about creating a national model, a chapter model where, they thought they could, you know, introduce this concept and see if they could get, you know, a number of players to come over. And, you know, they approached me, in the end of 2020. And I thought, yeah, I like the model. I like what they're trying to do. You know, again, the whole model was that they were, you know, by the players for the players, and they were going to listen to the players to see what they wanted, take their suggestions, create, you know, sets of tees that met age groups as well as playing ability, and can create and, you know, played competitive, good courses, and things like that. So in the fall of 2020, we put together, myself and another gentleman here in Charlotte, we put together a small schedule for Charlotte and, went about starting recruiting players, you know, players and friends of ours that we had played with over the years, and we started slowly. We wanted to build it slowly. We started off with, you know, about 60 to 80 players per event. Quickly brought that up to about 80 to 100 players per event here in the Charlotte area. The big difference between our tour events and some of the other tour events is that we usually do straight tee times, which is a lot different from shotgun starts. The straight tee times allows the players to play the course as, you know, as the designer intended, and not have to start somewhere out in the back nine, somewhere, you know, in the middle of nowhere, and then finish in the middle of nowhere at the back of the course as well. So, you know, the straight tee times is a big differentiating factor for us. The other differentiating factor, I think, for us is, again, a lot of the transparency, pool sizes, you know, prize pools. And what the players get for each entry is clearly defined in our tournament information pages, and they go from there.
Yeah, by having straight tee times, that in and of itself implies that the fields are limited to a certain extent. There's only so many people you can have in the field. And as someone who plays these various tours, the biggest gripe that I get, bar none, is pace of play, and pace of play is dictated by how many people you have on the course. So I think that of all the models, I think that, you know, having the straight tee times and therefore you're limiting the size of field, I think that may be the best selling point of the APT.
It is. I think it is. And that's always the biggest complaint that we have from our players. They say, why would I play another tour event? Because whenever I go on a tour event, it's always 5.5 hours, 6 hour rounds. And I said, I wouldn't play either. As you saw last weekend at Stonebridge, our round one, you know, when we were off the path and all that kind of stuff, our first group played in 3 hours. Now, they were a foursome that just, you know, were our rabbits. They set the pace. But by our third group, they played in 410. And our last group came off the course, our highest handicappers, they played in 4 hours, 27 minutes.
Yeah, so, I know that I can't play on a normal Saturday at Stonebridge in less than 5 hours. And in a tournament round on Saturday when we were still on the off the pads and everything, I think we played in 4:12 or 4:13. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is incredible growth. I didn't realize the tour was only 6 years old on a national level. Now, how many markets is the tour in?
Market is now over 35 markets across the U.S. We just expanded. There's two markets or two chapters now in southwestern Ontario or one in the Toronto area. And then there's another one in the Niagara Falls area as well.
And one of the things that I like about it most is when you play in these various events, you'll run into people who are members of, you know, say the Greensboro chapter of APT or the Myrtle Beach chapter of APT, and you find out about their events. And what's great is once you join the tour, you can play any of those.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not only can you play them, but you can also earn points to bring back to your local player of the year and national player of the year race. We don't limit you in terms of collecting points in only your own local tour events. We have a model where we take your best 8 single day events, your best 2 2-day events, and your best 1 local final, which is again the local championship that you have in your local tour, to count towards your player of the year standings. So, you know, you can play 14, 15, you know, up 20 events. Now, we're only going to take the best, you know, in what I just said, 8, 2, and 1, so 11 total events as your total score, which allows everybody, if they joined a little bit later in the year, they can still get all the points necessary to win the championship.
Well, and that's what I wanted to get to, because I know the tour got started in earnest as the weather was still cold and the grass was still dormant, but there are still plenty of events left for the remainder of what we have this spring and through the summer. Yes,
absolutely. Yeah, again, we're nonstop. I mean, yeah. Personally, I have events scheduled between now until I think it's September 17th and 18th is the last event that I have locally scheduled here in the Charlotte area. But again, like as you mentioned, there are events every single weekend, usually 5 or 6 each weekend across the country. We can go to Greenville, Spartanburg and play in upstate events. We can go down to Charleston, play down at Charleston events. Myrtle Beach, as you said, we're both going to be down there during the Memorial Day weekend playing in that event down there. And there's plenty of opportunities for players to play.
Yeah, and in terms of courses, I know we mentioned that we played Stonebridge locally this last week, but you mentioned the Myrtle Beach event. That's down at Caledonia and True Blue, two of the best golf courses you can find anywhere in this country, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. There's been other events. I know that I played in one earlier this year that was down at Tallamore in the Sandhills. I mean, you know, Tallamore is a world-renowned golf course. So in terms of course quality, don't think you're going to be signing up and playing a bunch of goat tracks. They have open availability. Now, these are all really good golf courses.
Absolutely. Yeah, like I say, we're down in the Pawleys Island area in 2 weeks. 2 weeks after that, there's another national event down at Stream Song. We're going down there. And then in the beginning of that, we're going to Branson, Missouri and playing Payne's Valley. And then later in September, Labor Day weekend, you can go down to Chambers Bay out in Washington State. So we have a lot of national events at, you know, premier courses that are bucket list courses for most players.
Now, you know, those of us that play in this thing, we like to get competitive, and it is very well done by handicaps. You're not going to be put in a group of people that you have no chance against. Everything is very well done at the APT. But you mentioned also that we're accumulating points with a goal of getting to, you know, X kind of championship. Sort of explain how that works. So let's say you've accumulated points and you're player number 5 in Charlotte. What do you qualify for at that point?
What happens is at the end of the year, we have a national championship. This year, we are holding our national championship in Nashville, Tennessee. Last year, we were in Pinehurst. And so, another staple that these guys built into the tour was they were committed to changing the location of the national championship each year. So they wanted players from all over the country to come over and experience great golf courses around the country. This year, again, we're going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. So what we're looking at is at the end of the year, in order to qualify for that national championship, you must be in, I think it's the top three or top five of each of your divisions within your local tour to qualify for that. So you earn points for that, to get qualified for that. Each chapter will also have a what we call a local player of the year race. And so what we have done there is we have also, you know, partnered with some of our business partners that we have, our company sponsors, and we've come up with a package. And in Charlotte, for our local player of the year, we have a prize package that's going to be valued at $1,000, which is the maximum allowed by the USGA. And that will be awarded to each of our division champions on the regular tour, on the senior tour, and also our senior net champion. So we are going to be giving away $11,000 worth of gift cards and product at the end of the season for our point champions.
That is awesome. Okay, Phil, tell everybody how, like I said, there's plenty of time left in the season to get involved with the Amateur Players Tour. Tell them how they can do it.
Oh, very easy. Just go out to our website. And that's www.amateurplayerstour.com. Just click on the link to join the tour. And again, if you're not ready to commit, you can always join or always sign up for a single event. We allow players to come out, try it out, see what it's like. And usually once they come out and play once, we've got them hooked, and they join right after that. So that's easy. They can just go up to our website. Or the other option is to download our app, which you can find on the on your iOS or Android store. Just do a search on the Amateur Players Tour, download the app, and it'll have all your local schedules available for you to pick and choose all your events that you want to play in.
Yeah, thank you so much for mentioning the app. We live in an app world, and as far as golf and golf tour apps go, I'm holding my hand in the air testifying this is the best one there is. It is all self-contained. You can sign up for events. You can look for events. The live scoring once you're at the event is there, not only to keep score, but to check on scoreboard while you're playing. It's an all-in-one app that is the best there is. I don't know who did it for you, but all the other tours need to like pay him more money and have them go do their app.
That our app is powered by Blue Golf. Matt, one of our owners, is actually up at Blue Golf actually today, working with Blue Golf on enhancements that we're looking for the system. So they are committed. They're an organization that's committed to our organization as well, and they're always looking to make improvements. So we're getting player feedback, and you know we're continually to make this thing better and better.
Look, I compete in a couple of tours in the area, and without question, my favorite is the Amateur Players Tour, run by that guy, Phil Van Giersdalen. And when we return, our resident PGA Master teaching professional, Nick Jacoby, takes dead aim at PGA Championship predictions and more. First, how about one last trip by the Greater Golf Express Halfway House, where the Mizuno Mobile Fitting Van will be this Tuesday from 11 to 3. Get your swing DNA. All it takes is 3 swings. 10 minutes. Get fitted by Mizuno this Tuesday, 11 to 3 at Greater Golf Express Pineville.
Attention all golfers, the Unbox Stores Super Sales Event continues.
Are you still shopping at the boring old box store? Stop and head to Greater Golf Express in Pineville, the Unbox Store, where you get super pricing, super service, and super selection. Get the TaylorMade M4 driver, only $299, save $200. Looking for the Callaway Maverick Irons? Save $100 off the 7-piece set at Greater Golf Express. Tried the Callaway Maverick driver yet? Get to Greater Golf Express and save $200. Now only $299.99. Ready to stock up on Titleist golf balls? Get the Titleist Pro V1. Pro V1 X Left Dash and Titleist AVX Prior Generation Logo Overruns, 2 for $75 while supplies last. Greater Golf Express is located in Pineville in the Centrum Shopping Center right next to Home Depot. If you haven't shopped the Unbox Store, you're paying too much. Bottom line, if your game needs it, Greater Golf Express has it and has it for less, or greatergolfexpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We are Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. Nick Jacoby is our resident PGA master teaching professional and the general manager of Stonebridge Golf Club.
So before we get to handicapping the PGA Championship and who we think is going to win, lose, tie, draw, it occurred to me the other day as I was watching golf that you must watch golf differently than the rest of us. Similar to when I watch an NFL game with former NFL players, it's enlightening to me when they tell me what they're watching and they clue me into their point of view and okay, this, you know, and I'm fascinated by that. It's sort of like when I listen to people on the radio, I listen differently than other people because I listen for the radio guy mistakes and that no one else would notice. So when you're watching a golf tournament, what are the things, the nuanced things that you're actually watching?
So just like you said, you talk about when you're listening to radio, you talk about things where they mess up and normally people don't catch on. Same thing I look at golf-wise is when I watch someone, again, even the best players in the world are going to miss it more than they hit it perfect. So I'm looking at their miss and how good or how bad their miss is and if there is a trend of a miss. So, for example, if Dustin Johnson's got a 7-iron in his hand from 185 yards and he misses it, is it still on the green or is it burying a bunker? Because golf is all about your misses, and I stress that to all my students. So I'm always observing, evaluating their miss. How bad is their miss? Because I'm always trying to become a better player to make my misses better. So I always observe their miss, where it is, how bad it is.
What is an alarming thing for you? If you see the same miss, like if you see short sighting two times in a row, you're like, okay, this one's locked. They don't know where it's going.
Absolutely. And, you know, something that comes to mind, I was a couple months ago when Lexi Thompson had a chance at a tournament out west. I can't remember where it was, but she was in the middle of the fairway. It might have been in San Francisco. I can't remember. But anyway, she had a chance to win the event. She had roughly 120 some odd yards. She was hitting some form of a wedge into the last hole. Okay. Obviously one of the best players in the world. And she buried it in the bunker, probably 10 yards short of the green, and the pin was another 10 yards on. So
it was in the Women's Senior Open last year at Olympic, yes.
And she missed it by literally 20 yards distance-wise with a wedge, and that blew my mind. Of course, she turned around and seemed like she blamed Riccati. But anyway, how can a professional at that level, that is unexcusable as far as I'm concerned. How can she miss a wedge that bad? So that is stuff that blows my mind because I watched her. She actually had a lead and she ended up not winning the event, but she blew it coming in and I felt bad for her because she definitely was the best player that week, didn't win, but watching her slowly come back to the field was very disheartening and hopefully she learns. I'm sure she learns from her mistakes, but I'm always trying to learn from mistakes or other people's mistakes, make sure I don't do those going forward.
You know, you just described two different things. Dustin Johnson, if he misses right or short sides of his own two, those are physical mistakes and that the ball's not going where he thinks it does. Lexi Thompson choosing the wrong club in that situation, that's a mental mistake, and I think that's probably more alarming. The physical can be fixed. In fact, it may occur to you on the walk from that green to the tee box, what you were doing, oh, okay, you know, you can fix it. That mental thing, that's got to be jarring to a professional when they make that sort of mistake.
Absolutely. And again, you know, growing up watching Tiger do his thing, very rarely did you ever see him make a mental mistake. Of course, he's going to hit it high right with his driver like he always does, but mentally wise, you hardly ever saw it. So again, seeing that from a top player in that circumstance where you're on the biggest stage to win, I think it was a major, and she did not come through, that was very disheartening. I hope she learned from that mistake.
Do you think that's another byproduct of Tiger? You just brought up that when Tiger was in his prime, when we were watching him, we never saw somebody in a position to win make a mental mistake. And now we see it all the time. Is it because we never saw it, and so now it stands out more?
Probably. Again, we saw arguably the greatest golfer, if not athlete of all time, just kick everyone's rear end for 15 consecutive years. And he was so far ahead of everyone else. I mean, it's just one of the things. We can go back and look at the scoring average average when you're paired with Tiger last round. I saw a quote on social media. Woody Austin said, he goes, I was one of the few guys that actually averaged under par playing with Tiger Woods. He goes, everyone averaged over par playing with him. So he was so far ahead of everyone else. So I think exactly what you said. I think we notice it more now because Tiger never did that, but now Tiger's not in contention, doesn't play hardly at all, so we don't see it anymore.
All right, on the subject of the Big Cat, let's segue to the PGA Championship taking place at Southern Hills, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Interesting stat, they've held seven major championships there. Seven. There are only 33 scores that have been under par total in seven major championships contested at Southern Hills. Tiger did it when he won the 07 PGA. Tiger, of course, is back. Now, we were excited just to see him step out the courtesy car at Augusta. And when he made the cut, we didn't give a damn what happened Saturday and Sunday. That was, especially that first round 71, that was just storybook magic.
Right.
In terms of Tiger's progression, what is a good week for Tiger Woods this week at Southern Hills, 5 weeks removed from the Masters, 5 weeks more of strengthening that leg?
According to Tiger, obviously it would be a win, but for a fan like myself, I would say, you know, a top 10 would be fantastic because that would put him somewhat in contention where he is relevant for the event. You know, I was listening to XM Radio driving into work this morning, and they're interviewing the director of golf who caddied for Tiger a couple weeks ago, and he said, it blew my mind. He goes, first off, he didn't hardly miss a shot, and he was just talking about, you know, we're talking about watching golf. He goes, he hit every window, every shot he wanted to. He goes, he doesn't even change his setup. He's like, all right, he wants to hit a high draw. He just hits the high draw. It's a high fade. He doesn't even change his setup. He just hits it. So listening to the director of golf who caddied for Tiger in his practice round just blew my mind. It was amazing listening to him.
All right. So I'm kind of with you. A top 10 would be an amazing thing. I think if not necessarily in contention, because that's a big word, but if he's just somewhere in that top 25, top 20 somewhere, I think that's huge. And it leads me to, okay, if he can finish top 20, just now, okay, we're 2 months away from the Open Championship at St. Andrews, where I think if he gets a good draw,
yes,
if he continues to progress, then we can talk about, could a miracle happen?
Yeah, and that's his best chance to win as of right now, just St. Andrews being the easier walk. And he loves, that's his favorite golf course in the world, as he's stressed many times. But he's all about hitting shots. Hardest would be U.S. Open. But, again, I've never played Southern Hills, but listen to the guys talk. It's a very long golf course, supposed to be windy and warm until it gets cool over the weekend. It's a driving golf course. And Tiger, I think that's a little bit of his weakness right now. He's probably the best iron player of all time. So I think that's going to hurt him a little bit. But I do believe what everyone says is he, you know, when he first came back a couple years ago from his first major injury, he was hitting this little slap cut. They say now he's hitting it straighter and carrying it 290 in the air on flat surface. So that is still plenty far to win out there. But again, driving is going to be a premier or premium there, and I think that's a little bit of his weakness.
All right, so give me your top three guys that you're going to be watching that you say, okay, if this guy hoists a Wanamaker on Sunday, not going to be surprised one bit. And then give me one guy that no one's talking about right now that you have a feeling about.
Ooh, good question. No one's talking about, I would say, someone like a Kisner, because I think he's still, I know it's a long golf course, but they're not going to be very far under par. So he's my dark horse, Kisner. As far as my top guys, I'd say Patrick Cantlay would be top of the list. I like Xander Schauffele, and probably, maybe we'll throw a Morikawa there. It's probably the third one.
Interesting that you picked two guys who haven't won a major and one guy who's won two in the last couple of years. It's impossible to me that Morikawa continues to fly under the radar. Each week you hear people talk about, you know, well, it's Scottie Scheffler. Well, it's John Rahm. Well, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth go over the group. And here's little Colin Morikawa, who's only, I think, the best iron player since Tiger Woods. Absolutely. On a course that's requiring precision. What are we talking about here?
Absolutely. And then, you know, the story of the week outside of Tiger's Jordan Spieth. Again, we're not talking about it, but Jordan Spieth wins the PGA. He wins the Grand Slam. So that is, he calls the elephant room, but it's not being talked about, of course, because Tiger Woods there. But I'm a Jordan Spieth fan. I would love to see Jordan Spieth win. He's coming off, obviously, two great performances. So I think that would be a tremendous story.
From Stonebridge Golf Club, that's PGA Master Teaching Professional Nick Jacoby. A reminder, the video component to his weekly visit, 2 minutes with Nick Jacoby, is online now at foxsportsradiocharlotte.com or just click the link on our Facebook page. I'd also like to thank Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, and Phil Van Giersdalen, head of the Charlotte chapter of the Amateur Players Tour, for their time this week. A reminder, speaking of that Facebook page, follow us on Facebook. Just search Taking Dead Aim. Give us a like there. Posted now. Links to articles on the very latest goings on in and around the world of golf. Weatherwise, looking good this weekend in the Carolinas. Maybe some showers hitting me. You know how it goes. But if you do put a peg in the ground and let this game continue to haunt your soul and break your heart, remember to exhale, swing, pose, and keep in the short grass. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at @CLT_golf guy. And I'll see you right here next week, Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise, where the Mizuno mobile fitting van will be this Tuesday from 11 to 3. Get your swing DNA, all it takes, 3 swings and 10 minutes. Get fitted by Mizuno this Tuesday, 11 to 3 at Greater Golf Express, Pineville.
Attention all golfers, the Unbox Stores Super Sales Event continues.
Are you still shopping at the boring old box store? Stop and head to Greater Golf Express in Pineville. The Unbox Store, where you get super pricing, super service, and super selection. Get the TaylorMade M4 driver, only $299. Save $200. Looking for the Callaway Maverick Irons? Save $100 off the 7-piece set at Greater Golf Express. Tried the Callaway Maverick driver yet? Get to Greater Golf Express and save $200. Now only $299.99. Ready to stock up on Titleist golf balls? Get the Titleist Pro V1. Pro V1 X Left Dash and Titleist AVX Prior Generation Logo Overruns, 2 for $75 while supplies last. Greater Golf Express is located in Pineville in the Centrum Shopping Center right next to Home Depot. If you haven't shopped the Unbox Store, you're paying too much. Bottom line, if your game needs it, Greater Golf Express has it and has it for less, or greatergolfexpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.